Hi, this is
Radio.
Hi, this is Doug McIsaac, and I have Mark with Online for Offline, and I've got Mark Riffey on the call with Rescue Marketing. Today we're going to chat a little bit about making your website work. So many businesses that Mark and I work with have a beautiful website up there, but it's not doing anything. It's not helping them with their business. And we're going to talk about some ways to work on your website and use it to build your business rather than just have it for a place that you spend money. And because that's what it's all about, is using all the pieces, all the resources that are available to us to generate more business and more traffic, because that's ultimately what we're all in this game for. I've known Mark for probably a year and a half, almost about a year and a half or so. He used to run a monthly Dan Kennedy, Glazer Kennedy meeting for us here in Billings, Montana. He's a great marketer. He has people all over the U.S. And do you have international clients as well, Mark?
I don't anymore. I used to.
Oh, do you? Okay, well, I know. He lives, he runs his business out of the beautiful Flathead Valley up here in northwestern Montana, just a beautiful, beautiful part of the world to live in. And he's lucky that he's able to live in a beautiful spot and work with clients all over, as well as local clients and national clients. Is there anything you'd like to add about your background and there, Mark?
Well, I spent a long time in the software business, and I know you did too, and
yeah,
that provides us both with a benefit that most marketers don't have, most website owners don't have. And while it's a bonus for us, it's something that I would hope that most business owners would not see as a detriment for them, because there's always somebody out there that can do that tech work for them. But anyway, I've both worked for a number of different software companies from size from 6 employees up to about 45,000, and I've owned my own software company, and that's when I had the international customers, was at that point. But, it's been a long, interesting journey, and I'm sure that it's not done yet.
It's not. It definitely is not. I've worked with you, and I know your skill sets. I could just see your business growing for you. And rescuemarketing.com is your website. And if anyone needs to go check that out, I recommend that you go there and check out Mark. He's got a lot of really good skills for you. Well, let's kind of start at the top here, Mark. What would be the first things when you're going in and talking to the client about their website? What are the first things you usually look for, the first questions you normally would ask them when you get started with them?
One of the things I find is that they don't really have goals for what they want their website to accomplish, and that's a critical missing piece. Do they want it to get them more leads? Do they want it to serve existing clients? Do they want it to act as if it's a pedestal or a portal into their business, to attract clients, to establish credibility? I mean, there's dozens of different things that your website can do for your business. But most folks really haven't thought about that. There's some that have, but the majority of them just want a nice-looking website, and they haven't really put, haven't made it part of their strategic plan. They haven't made it part of their marketing plan to figure out what the goals are, what the benchmarks are for, is the site will be successful when it's doing this, when it's generating 100 leads a month, or when it's taking service away from my phone lines and letting the customers help themselves 24 hours a day rather than waiting for business hours, and a number of things along those lines.
That's very, very common. They have a website because somebody told them they had to have a website.
Exactly.
That's the only reason they can tell you why they have it.
And that person was probably right, but you have to go beyond that.
That's right. Well, let's see. What do you want to dig into? Maybe just one an example of a client that you helped that started with no goals for their website, and kind of the process you went through with them.
Yeah, I've got a nonprofit client up here. It's actually a hospital foundation that I was working with, and they were using a bunch of canned content from a financial firm that they were involved with. And the biggest thing about this was it was clearly canned. To anybody that saw it would notice it. If you've ever seen, for example, an Edward D. Jones brochure or any of the stock folks that are out there, if you've ever seen one of their brochures, you could just tell that this information came right off of it. The pictures came off of it, the info. It was not fine-tuned to their audience. It was not, we're in Northwest Montana. People kayak and ski. I mean, they do everything they can to spend as much time as they can outdoors up here. And the Montana lifestyle, so to speak, is part of their whole thought process, even with the gifting that they do. And that's, this foundation raises money for the hospital. So they weren't really having a conversation with their customer, with the website. It was a brochure is really all it was. Didn't have any way to take donations. Basically, there weren't any goals. So we sat down, actually, with the entire hospital or representatives of the entire hospital and talked about what they wanted the website to do. And then that gave them a master plan to move on from there and accomplish some things with the website that actually made sense for their business. One that's a little more practical is a guy I'm actually working with now. He owns a home supply store, they sell lumber and hardware and tools and stuff like that. A lot of his clients are contractors, and his current website is it's a brochure, basically. It's got contact information, and it talks about who they are and a little bit about their market, but it really doesn't enable their customers to do business with them. If I hand you a brochure, that tells you about me, but it doesn't provide you with a tool to interact with me when you need to. What we're doing for them is we're actually allowing their contractors to order building materials for delivery over the phone. And I don't mean over the phone by picking it up and talking on it. I mean we're building a mobile website so that their contractors who can be, Montana distances are big, for example.
Yeah.
Listeners may not be aware that it's a 7-hour drive from where Doug is to where I am.
In the same state.
Yeah, in the same state, and that doesn't cover about 40% of the state. That just gets us across the central part of it.
Yeah.
That's a common thing across Montana, and these contractors spend a lot of what we call in Montana windshield time driving all over the place, and what he's trying to do is give them a way to raise his business to the very forefront for them. He would be the desirable vendor to work with because they can be on the job site and they can open up their phone, and if they've got a smartphone or any phone that does the web, they can order 27 trusses or whatever they need and have them delivered, and he doesn't have to make a phone call. He doesn't have to go over to the hardware place that might be 50, 60, 70 miles away from the job site. He just does that. And it provides a much more streamlined ordering process for him, and that's just one of the things that we're doing for them, making life easier for your customer. In this case, saving some fuel and some time.
That is really, really, that's very innovative. That's a really neat way to make it work for the customer and work for the client. That's a neat idea. Because I can understand. I mean, that's a great thing because contractors want to stay on the job and keep things rolling. And here in Montana, the type of jobs you're talking about, it's small contractors that are a lot of times are hands-on guys as well as, they're not just directing a group of people. They're actually the guy who's doing a lot of the work. Not all the work necessarily, but a lot of the work. It's a really neat concept.
Well,
really,
and they also want to keep their subs busy. I mean, That's critical to staying in business when you're in that line of work. If your subs aren't working, you're not making any money. It's just costing you money. I had another conversation actually just this morning with somebody from Send Out Cards. Are you familiar with them?
No.
It's sendoutcards.com, and what they do is they've got a website that allows you to build a campaign. A mailing campaign of greeting cards or postcards, and you can include inserts and GIFs and other stuff in there, and you can upload your contact list and so forth. And you can automate it, like we've all been taught to do, to create a funnel and so forth. And they called me up because they've got an upgrade coming out soon, and they wanted to talk about that. And I've used them for probably 3 years, and I use them sporadically. And the main reason that I use them sporadically is because they don't have any automation. What I told the person that called me this morning was, what I'd really like to do is that when somebody places an order on my website, I would like the website to be able to say, hey, send out cards. Send a card to this person. Send this card. Write this on the inside. And use this address. And just make it happen. So that way I don't ever have to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
It provides a personal touch without manual labor, which is a singular thing that a website needs to do.
I have an interview coming up with one of the other interviews in the interview series is with some folks from Infusionsoft, and their software will do everything but the printing on that. Far as it'll do email response, but it won't do the printing. And I have another gentleman that I've worked with, another product, and I'll have to track it down. I'll make sure I add it into the notes with this call. His application will interface with a print company and will do exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I remember when you did this a while ago, and I don't know if you're planning on talking about this today or not, but when you did that campaign with the chocolate CDs, you want to talk about that for a minute? I'll turn the mic around on you. I mean, that was a very innovative use of email and the web.
That was, and that's why we did. It was a 37.7% response rate, which is an amazing response rate. I do have a case study for that available on Online for Offline, as well as on any place you find Online for Offline, you'll probably find it. Some of you found this on Facebook, and I do have that. I should have that case study available there. And if not, it is available on our website once you've logged in. And it also is available on our YouTube account. But what that campaign was about is the multi-step campaign where we were trying to drive direct response campaign where we were sending out postcards. We were trying to drive people to a website, ask them some questions, and then respond based on the questions that they asked. And it's a really interesting, innovative way to integrate the two channels, the offline and the online channels. And I was talking to someone this morning about using that type of campaign for a hair salon in D.C., where they would use that to drive people to their website and find out what the people were specifically looking for and then deliver the information back to them as well. So it's a neat way to bring people to the website. I probably didn't explain it well enough, but if you go take a look at the if you check out the case study at Online for Offline, you can get a good understanding of what it does. But it's all about bringing people to your website. Okay, let's see here. Mark, I'm trying to decide which direction we should go with this, but I think after we've met with the client, we've found what goals they're looking for, what would you say would be the top one or two goals that people should focus on with their personal website? What would be the first step after they've decided on goals? They should pick one goal and work with it, or should they kind of do a broad spectrum of things that they want to do with it?
Well, there's a couple things there. One of the things they need to do is prioritize those goals. Getting a lead, making a sale, establishing credibility, and any number of other things, depending on what the business needs, is where the priority kind of creeps in there. They may have more leads than they can handle. They may simply need a more efficient way of dealing with them. They may need to move a process from telephone to the web, or part of a process from the telephone to the web, because they're getting a lot of the same questions or things like that. So it really comes down to looking at the processes and the problems that they're experiencing, and the growth or the lack of growth and things along those lines. Most of them want more leads out of their website.
Right.
And that's really the thing that I probably spend the most time focusing on for them. And one of the things I tell them is that, you know, if you were standing face-to-face, as Dan would say, nose-to-nose, toes-to-toes, with this person, how would you convince them that you were the only person to do business with?
Right.
If it doesn't matter if there's 100 other vendors that do what you do, what would you do or say or show them to convince them that they, the only choice, the only proper choice is to pick you? And that's the message that we want the website to get across. Once we've done that, then there's plenty of other things to do. But that, to me, that's the number one thing, is I want to have the ideal conversation with the ideal prospect.
So you want to, and how would you come about that? How would you, when you're working with a client, how would you come up with developing that message?
I ask a lot of annoying questions. You've probably seen that.
Yes, I have. I've been on the receiving end of that.
That's really a lot of it, is I try to put myself in the place of the customer who doesn't know squat about your business. I was working with a place that sells tennis stuff, and they had a wide spectrum of gear. I mean, they had stuff that you and me would buy, and they had stuff that Andre Agassi would buy, and they had stuff that Donald Trump would buy. And they were kind of selling it all the same way. And what I asked them was, if I walked into the store and I'm Donald Trump, how do I know where the Trump stuff is? Where are the gold-plated tennis rackets with the, with the Peruvian cat strings or whatever the heck they make the strings out of these days? Where do I want Donald to look in the store? Where do I want Donald to look on the website? What do I need to do to convince him that all his other billionaire buddies shop here? And the same conversation has to happen with you and me, has to happen with Andre or whoever else their ideal customer is. And that conversation can last a while, because folks don't often look at it by, they don't often segment their clients and look at it as Trump's got needs that are different than Agassi or than you and I. They say, I sell tennis stuff, when the reality is they don't necessarily sell tennis stuff. And in our case, they sell stuff to middle-aged guys who want to get out in the fresh air and maybe get a little exercise. In the case of Agassi, who knows what they're selling there? In the case of Trump, I want to have some bling-bling to go out on the tennis court with my billionaire friends and not look like I don't know what I'm doing and not look fashionable and things like that. So this is totally different goals of the person that's coming into the store to buy, but they're all buying the same thing. So arriving at that, at the message for each one of those clients, if there is a segmentation available to them, and there almost always is one of the things that's critical to figure out.
That is, and that's going to be a little bit different with every client that you work with getting to.
Oh, absolutely.
It's definitely going to be different, but so the process is going to be a little different. So you need to, the one thing that I find working with small business owners is they don't understand. They're too close to it, so it takes someone like us to come in and pull them away from it and have them look through the eyes of somebody who does not know their business and maybe not know their industry that well. So to get them to deliver the message so that somebody that doesn't know what they're doing, will get interested. Did I say that correctly? Did that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's one of the most difficult parts about developing the message, is they need to be able to step outside of it. Once we've done that with a client, we've kind of segmented how they look at it. Let's just talk about lead generation. What would you say are some of the better ways to use a website for lead generation? Because I know that's a huge thing that people are interested in.
One of the things you and I talked about this morning was kind of an unexpected lead generation for me. I've got a radio show similar to this one, and one of the things I started doing was uploading recordings of the show to Utterz. And that's UTTERZ.com. And it's kind of a microblogging platform, but it's a multimedia microblogging platform. And what I mean by that is that you've got a limited amount of text that you can post, or you can upload an audio or a video or something like that. It's kind of a multimedia version of Twitter, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
And I just did that kind of on a whim to see if I would get any listeners from it, to see if I could get some traffic from it. And yeah, just basically to see who's out there. Is it, you know, is it just a place where people are looking for, you know, the stuff that you find in People magazine, or are there business people out there? And, you know, then I can take action accordingly. And what I found was that I didn't get a whole bunch of viewers or listeners from udders directly, but when those udders got posted to Twitter, it generated a whole bunch of interest in Twitter, and those people came to the blog, which is what my goal was.
Yeah.
Because the folks that read the blog are the ones that figure out that I know what I'm talking about, and I can help them in certain areas. And I mean, the blog is it's an outlet for one thing, but it's also a way to establish credibility in certain areas of business. And what the udders managed to do for me through Twitter was to drag people to the site because they heard a brief audio, and in some cases a not-so-brief audio, and that got them to the blog. And then once they start reading the blog, then we have a conversation going on. And that's really what, you know, referring back to the earlier part of the show, that is what the site's all about, is I want to have a conversation with my prospects, with my clients, and stay out in front of them constantly. As far as other things lead-wise, you know, the biggest thing is to find out what problems are plaguing them. And it doesn't matter whether it's a business site or a consumer site or a movie star site or whatever. There's people out there in whatever niche you happen to be in that want more information. And if you can demonstrate expertise on your website, then you're going to get their email address, or you're going to get their mailing information, so you can send them a CD, or you can send them a printed newsletter, or whatever you're going to send out. Having the website set up to deliver that information, to collect lead information, and continue delivering that content is critical. You know, we can all get somebody to your websites once, but the magic happens when you get them to come back more than once. And you make your website becomes a habit with them. And, you know, that was one of the things that intrigued me about the chocolate thing that you did, was not only did you get the lead information there, but you learned about, you know, what kind of chocolate they like and what kind of music they like and things like that, without having to have a telephone conversation, without being too intrusive, and you were able to tune the mailing based on their answers.
Yeah, that was by setting, you know, by with that campaign, yeah, we asked people what, and it was sent from a print company. We asked them what type of chocolate they liked, what type of music, what type of movies, and what type of TV shows, and they received a CD that was based on the type of chocolate that they liked, whether it was white, dark, or milk chocolate, and then the cover. The CD cover was the type of music they liked. It was based on the type of music they liked. And then the final piece after that was a newsletter, for lack of a better term, we called the Daily Variable, that had pieces based on music, TV, or movies that they liked. Really, really fascinating case study. If people want to check it out, I've got it, once again, available on Online for Offline. Okay, sorry. I thought I'd tell a little bit more background on it for those that haven't seen it. So.
Hey, that's okay. That's why I keep bringing it up, because there's a lot of lessons in that. You know, it's some great examples in there of creating a funnel on your website that, you know, the milk chocolate people turn left here and the dark chocolate people turn right here, and they get what they want. You know, you didn't say, I'm going to send you chocolate, and they get dark and they hate dark chocolate. That's not a way to collect leads. That's not a way to grow your customer base. You know, they came there for a specific reason, and that's really what the website's got to do. It's got to have a conversation with that person and make them think to themselves, that's for me, not that's for everybody who has a heartbeat, or that's for every guy between the ages of 18 and 57, but that's for me. And that's really where that annoying series of questions comes out and becomes valuable, because you start talking about who your customers are. A lot of folks never even think about that. You know, you think back to the Kevin Costner movie, you know, if we build it, they will come. That's just not how it works. I mean, if you own a liquor store, you might be able to get away with that. But in most areas of a business, you've got to know your customer. You've got to know them better than anybody else. Harvey McKay once said, it's better to know one more thing about your customer than to know 10 more things about your product. And the reason for that is simply that the better you know your customer, the better your message can be fine-tuned to attract them, to give them what they need. And, you know, that's what the websites are all about. You know, the lead generation, you know, you can put up a squeeze page or some other way of collecting their email address and their name or their other contact information. But if you don't learn anything from that, you're still guessing at what they came to your site for in the first place. I mean, unless your site is very, very narrow in scope, you really need to put some additional effort into figuring out what attracted them. I mean, that's why we look at web trends reports, and that's why we look at, you know, whatever reporting thing you do for your website. You look at the keywords people use to find you. You know, Glenn Livingston talks up one side and down the other about when someone searches on guinea pig, he can tell you how far they are away from buying versus someone who searches on guinea pigs. The reason he knows that is because he's done enough research to know that somebody who searches for guinea pigs is just getting started in the process. They're just starting to look for information. And the only way you can know that is by research. On the guinea pig side, he noticed that because he looks at his web stats and sees that this is the predominant search right before somebody makes a purchase. And, you know, it's not limited to strange things like guinea pig ebooks. I mean, this is impactful whether you sell coffee, Mercedes cars, clothes, shoes, whatever. You've got to know the lingo, the wants, the needs, and all that kind of stuff. You know, the conversation that's going on in their head, as Robert Collier said, you've got to know what's going on. Because if you don't, you can't tune that message. You can't say, hey, if you have bunions, you're going to love our extra-wide shoes. Click over here and take a left. If you're selling narrow track shoes, that person's gone. But that's okay. Figuring out who that customer is for your product is a critical piece of your website, of your lead generation process. I mean, it's a big piece of the whole thing.
That is very, very important. We could spend a week talking about how you get into that, how you join into that conversation. Somebody's at. There's a lot of work to get it done right, but man, once it's done right, it works so well. So well. Let's discuss some of the other ways that we can use our website to make it work for us. What would you think would be the number one way to continue the conversation? Once you've got somebody's made it to your website and you've got it fairly well targeted, what's a really good way to continue the conversation with them?
What I use is a combination of things. I use the blog, and you can subscribe. You can look at the blog on the website. You can look at the blog using an RSS feed. You can look at the blog by getting an email notification every day, or you can get an email newsletter which contains basically the same posts every couple of days. The reason that I have so many delivery mechanisms in there is that there are some people who just detest email. There are other people who live on their CrackBerry every day, reading their email constantly. You know, everybody, you know, has a different way of consuming information. And one thing you've got to be careful about when you're delivering it is providing as many ways as you can to get it to them. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I started doing the radio show, is that some folks just don't want to read. And it's not that they don't like reading, that they're not intelligent. They've got other things to do to consume their time, and they can listen while they're driving home from work, or they can listen while they're jogging, or they can listen while they're working, but, you know, kind of subliminally in that case. The big thing is to have a regular piece of communication that's coming out of your website, whether it's an email newsletter or the blog or something like that. I mean, I'm using so many different ways to communicate with people because I'm finding that the old, I know 72 ways to get a client every month, but there's 72 of them.
Right. Well, you need to, you don't know where they're going to be, so you need to be everywhere for them. You don't know which way they're going to want to communicate with you the best, so you need to provide all of it. And if you were to find that, you know, 99% of your people are coming from one channel, you would focus on that one channel.
Oh, absolutely.
But what you're finding is that you're getting in this case, you know, that's what we do. That's what we do with a client, is that all of their people, everybody was coming to their blog and signing up for their RSS feed. We just focus on building their RSS feed traffic. If we found that all of their clients were finding their website because they handed them a card in their office and nobody was searching for them, we would make sure that they focused on offline stuff to drive people to their website. So it all depends on the situation, and we look at everything that's out there, cast a wide net, and then just focus on what seems to be working the best.
Yep. And it comes back to measuring everything until you figure out what the important things are, and then keeping at it. The story that Dan told, or still tells actually, about the chiropractor. You know, it was a chiropractor that came and talked to one of his groups, and mentioned that she got 72 new clients a month. And afterwards, somebody said, "Gee, how do you get 72 clients a month?" And her reply was, "I don't know how to get 72 clients per month from one technique. That's what they were looking for, but I know 72 ways to get one, and I use them all." And that's kind of the strategy that I use personally, because my clients are all over the place. You know, there's folks that read blogs and there's folks that don't read blogs, and some of the most lucrative clients that I've got have never seen my blog, but they've seen my print newsletter, or they've heard the radio show or something like that. And other businesses have got the same kind of thing. I mean, there's a small engine repair store that, you know, they repair snowmobiles and lawnmowers and stuff like that here in town. You know, a blog might not be the most effective way for them to communicate, but if they have a website that's got repair videos on it and has a way to sign up for a print newsletter or something along those lines, anybody who finds them is going to have a way to get communicated with. So you really got to think about who the client is, and you got to think about how they want to be communicated with. In my case, the probably in yours as well, the spectrum of how people find out about us and how they prefer to listen to what we have to say is pretty wide.
Right, that's a question that any small business owner needs to ask themselves as part of the goals for their personal website, for their business's website, is they need to think about their client. They might even want to spend some time talking to their clients, literally interviewing them. That's one of the strengths I see of an offline business trying to build their online presence versus a strictly online business. You can actually get belly to belly with your customers and ask them questions. You know, what things are you looking for? What type of things would you go to our website for? And ask them those questions. And, you know, it's going to give you good data to work from. And you start there and then build your website around how your customers want that conversation to go.
Sure.
And I really liked what you're doing with the home supply company. Any other fun ways that you've got customers that are using online to communicate with their customers or build their businesses?
Yeah, some of the ways are kind of, they're kind of well known, but they're awfully handy. One of them is using Google Calendar, And what they've done is they've created a Google Calendar that's public. And if you aren't familiar with Google Calendar, what you can do in there is you can go in and invite guests, or you can sign up yourself and you could subscribe to the calendar. And you know, one of the things, what this business does, among other things, they're in financial services, and they have little seminars, and they're not really sales pitches, but they're I've gotten them to incorporate an educational component into their business, because that's just another way for them to establish credibility. And you know, when the people who come to that decide that they're ready to invest some money, you know, who's the natural person for them to invest it with? You know, it's the person who's been teaching them stuff for the last 6 months. So what we had them do with the Google Calendar is, if they want to subscribe to it, they just go into the Google Calendar and they say, yeah, notify me when all this when all these seminars happen. So what happens is, people don't forget that these seminars are going on. I mean, all of us forget stuff. I mean, you know, I like to joke that I have three wives. I have my real wife, I have Outlook, and I have my smartphone. And all three of them tell me what to do all day. And if I didn't have those three things, I wouldn't get anything done. And you know, maybe there's a to-do list and a few things like that in there too. But yeah, but that's really, you know, today people have got a million things going on. And if you're depending on me or Doug or whoever to remember that we're supposed to go to this class tonight, you know, then, you know, it's not going to happen. There'll be some people who remember, but you want them all there. So what the Google Calendar allows them to do is they sign up for the calendar notifications, and they'll either get a text message or they'll get an email, and they'll get it, you know, they can decide how long and before the class they get them the notifications, you know, minutes or hours or days or whatever. And so what they've seen is that fewer people forget about the seminars. The bonus for that is that if they're in front of those folks all the time, then they're establishing more credibility. They're making their clients smarter, and that's something that we kind of blew past when we were talking earlier in the thing is, you know, one of the big things that a website needs to do is educate your customers and teach them to be able to differentiate between what you do and what everybody else does, because the more picky they are, the more intelligent they are, and the better consumer they are of what you sell, then the more likely they are to stick with you or people who do as well as you do, and the more likely they are to blow off people who clearly don't know what they're doing or who sell an inferior product, or who sell a product whose value proposition just isn't there. You know, everybody should, I mean, one of their goals for their website should be to attract the most intelligent consumers in that niche. And that's kind of what this person is trying to do. They're trying to create an intelligent investor, a smart financial person, with the follow-up to be, if these people are smarter, then they're going to come to me because I was the one that got them there. In some cases, that's what happens, and in some cases, it's not. But the big bottom line of that is that it definitely has an impact. You know, he can measure how many people he gets as investment clients that he first met through those classes, and that's a big number for him.
That's a Google Calendar. That's a really neat addition. That's a fun thing to add. Actually, I like that. But do you have we've got 5-6 minutes left here. Do you have another cool story like that? Another client?
You know, the other one that comes to mind is one that I'm not sure how much of a website lead story it is, but it really illustrates how you've got to think about your website. So we'll talk about it, and you can tell me to be quiet if I need to.
Okay.
When I was back in the software business, one of our biggest annoyances was clients who didn't back up their stuff. And, you know, they would invariably have a hardware problem, and they would lose, you know, a week of orders or 2 weeks of orders, or, you know, in some cases they lost everything they had. Or, you know, they had a fire, or somebody broke in and took their computer, and their backup CD was sitting on top of the computer, so they took that too. And while this impacted our clients, it impacted us because, you know, we would spend, in some cases, hours and hours and hours trying to recover their data. You know, we have tools to fix stuff like that, and it's difficult to charge for that, especially in the business model that we were operating under at the time. It was a kind of a subscription-based deal. Anyway, what we ended up implementing was a way to back up their stuff for them, whether they liked it or not. And if they wanted to back it up online, then they could do that. And that happened. That was a chargeable fee. But what we did was we integrated that into the website. And what they could do is they could check and see when the last backup they had was. And they got emails and stuff, too, to tell them about this. But it illustrates that you can add a service component to your website to make your customers better consumers, to make them more stable, and in our case, it allowed us to make or to save their bacon. I've had a number of instances where we've tried to put a service business online as far as when's my next appointment, when's my next opening, when was the last time I came in for an oil change, all those kinds of things. So many businesses leave to chance, and their websites can be a critical tool and removing the chance from when those people come back. I mean, if I ask you, when did you last go in for an oil change? You may not remember.
Right.
I'll bet your oil change place doesn't remind you that it's been 3 months. They depend on you to look at that little sticker up in the corner.
Yep, they do.
You know, and for a long time, we depended on our clients to back up their own stuff, even though in many cases it cost us, at least in lost hair, as much as it cost them. These are the kind of things you've got to think about with your website, you know, kind of like the construction place. No other construction place around here is doing anything like that. They're not even thinking about it. You know, they're going to watch this guy implement this, and they're going to think, why the heck did he do that?
Yeah,
don't worry about those kind of things.
At first they're going to say, why? Why in the world is he messing around with that? Until he starts beating them up, and then they're going to start wondering about how he made it work.
Yeah. And, you know, just integrating a service, if you've got a service component to your business, I think it's critical to try to find a way to integrate your website into that. You know, we talked about the lawnmower place a few minutes ago. You know, wouldn't it be great if there was a video on your snowblower? I mean, not everybody that's listening to this probably has a snowblower, but for those of us who live in Montana and have snowblowers, changing the belt is a pain in the rear. You can never find the book when you need to do that if you've got a spare belt. Or, you know, maybe you go to Walmart and you find the right belt and you get home and then you're like, how do I get this thing apart and actually get it back together so that it works? It'd be very simple for them to film that and put it on their website and show you step by step how to change that belt. Now,
it
might not make any money on that, but it's going to make you continue to go back to their website, and it's going to put their name in front of you anytime you get that kind of thing that needs to be done. I mean, it seems like common sense, but you know how that goes.
Okay, we're in the last minute and a half here. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Sorry I didn't get around to actually letting you ask me questions. A couple of you could have done it on chat session, but I didn't see any there. Next, we'll try and be better about that. Mark and I had too much fun talking about different things. Mark is available at rescuemarketing.com, and he also has a hot seat radio session on Fridays at 11 a.m. Mountain time.
It's 1 o'clock Mountain.
1 o'clock Mountain time on Fridays that you should check out as well. And I appreciate your time, Mark. As always, it was fun chatting with you. And we will have we'll have this recording up for people to listen to for quite a while. Actually, we're just going to keep it up as part of the series. So once again, thank you for your time, Mark, and thank everybody for listening in.
Hey, glad to be here, Doug. Thanks a lot for offering me the opportunity.
You are very welcome. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.